Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, let me get this out of the way.
We need the moisture.
Oh, yeah, the moisture's good.
Moisture's good. I could hear my trees drinking.
Yeah, we need that. I tell you what, it's just amazing. Yesterday, I was outside most of the day, Mike. Most of the day, I cleaned both of my grills. So my regular grill and then my smoker. And they were pretty filthy. You know, I'm one of those guys, though, that thinks that adds flavor, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a guy thing.
A little bit of grill residue.
Yeah, a little grill residue, because, you know, you've got a little bit of just the oils and the drippings in there.
It's got a little chicken flavor to that steak.
Right, when you heat it up, it just permeates the meat. But, of course, my wife doesn't think the way I think.
Now, the only thing I do have a rule is that if I've grilled some fish.
Uh-huh.
And then the next time I'm getting ready to do, like, steak, I want to get the fish off the grill. I don't necessarily want the fish to mix with the steak.
Delicious.
That's surf and turf, Mike.
That's true. I guess that's surf and turf. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, you got it.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Anywho.
It's snowing out, folks. I don't know how many people are traveling right now, but if
pretty
you,
empty driving in today.
It was quiet, yeah. which was good for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're going to be heading out this morning, I would definitely advise that you give yourself some extra time. It's snowy, it's slushy, and a little slick, and yeah, so
hey,
kind
guys,
of a slow ride.
Real quick, circle back. Are you saying you guys don't clean your grill every time?
No.
No.
You don't take a brush and, like, clean it off. So you...
No.
Okay, that's kind of gross.
Why?
You're supposed to clean it every time.
But now think about it. Here, I get what Mark's saying, because, you know, whatever is on there, once you, like, heat up the grill...
Right.
Whatever's there sort of melts...
Yeah, into the...
And then melts into...
Yeah,
no, you're eating
them.
So if I go over to your house and eat... I'm eating just
stuff from a month ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for
disgusting.
You.
Disgusting. I'm eating char.
Oh no,
it's not char.
Diabetes.
Hey, says says the guy who's had 40 days off for being sick in the last 2 months. Oh, all right, come on. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Let's compare immune systems.
Yeah, that it just strengthens your immune system. Your stuff is too clean.
By the way, you worked in the restaurant industry for a while. Something tells me things sort of get used over and over again, right?
No, actually.
There's a little bit of residue on that meat slicer?
Well, that's between me and the ladies.
To linger.
Let it linger.
I lost my train of thought. No, when I worked at Chipotle, that was like the cleanest restaurant I ever worked at was Chipotle.
Ding, 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 ding.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There was another restaurant I worked at that if you like fresh, like to eat fresh, I wouldn't recommend it. Well, let's just say that.
Uh-huh.
And that
all
wasn't
right.
Just one location.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So a little advisement there as to what's going on outside. So do be careful and I guess clean your grills or don't clean your grills. You just heard the debate. Whatever side you're on.
Cheers.
Take it.
My grills are spotless.
Yeah,
right now.
I did clean mine the other day, so mine's ready to go too.
All right.
Okay, you are calling the Saints and Broncos on Sunday.
Indeed, I am, Mike.
And I know that you are thorough, very thorough in your prep. You're a big believer in diving into the film. You're a student of the game.
Yes,
you're like a football film thespian. You're like the who are those famous movie critics?
Siskel and Ebert.
You're like the Siskel or the Ebert. You're the Roger Ebert of football film.
Which one was chubby?
That was Ebert.
I'm Ebert.
You're Ebert. Yeah. So you started to do, I assume, a deep dive into the Broncos from their game the other day. Anything jump out?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of things that jumped out, Mike. There was, now I'm going to go back earlier in time to just see how much different some of the stuff they were running, but, tons of 12 and 13 personnel. So meaning two tight ends, three tight end personnel. So ton of condensed formations. Thought it really interesting though, when you run condensed formations, normally you're thinking about inside like 14, 15, like tight gap plays or crush plays or however you want to, you know, however you want to, everybody calls them, some of the coordinators call them smash, crush, you know, in Tampa Bay, they call it 22 and 23 duo plays, but they're just basically a gap, just a kind of a big mosh pit. Inside run, let's get double teams everywhere. It's kind of the theory of we're putting 600 on 300 and we're just going to move the pile and just kind of push the pile into the linebackers. We're not even worried about necessarily picking them up. They're just going to get mashed up into that pile and our running back is just going to pick his way through there and it's going to be an automatic 3 or 4 yards. And if he gets a little, you know, gets a little bit of daylight, bam, he breaks one out and it becomes a bigger run. So normally when I think multiple tight ends, 12 personnel, 13 personnel. I'm thinking crush or duo or whatever. A lot of outside kind of counter run. And it was interesting. And I don't even know what to call it, Mike. I really don't. They ran a bunch of what we would call G lead back in my day, front side guard pulling out and being, you know, like pulling out and trapping the front side D end, right? And then they're behind it. They're either running guard pull, tackle pull, center tackle pull behind that G lead, which again, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a G lead counter. And so depending on the front, because Miami played a lot of what we call jam front. So three guys, guard, center, guard covered, right? And just depending on the front, it was different pullers from the backside with that G lead pull. It was a fascinating play. So they're condensing formation, but they're attacking the outside run.
So is this something that is sustainable? Is this something that they can continue to do for a while, regardless of how a defense lines up against them?
Well, I think that was certainly one of the things they were trying to do, game plan specific to Miami. But yeah, it puts another thing in your arsenal that you're going to have to, contend with. That you're going to have to game plan for, Mike. So when you have some variety that you can execute, now all of a sudden the next defense goes, okay, guys, we've got to figure out what's our plan to stop this? What's our plan to stop what they normally run? A lot of, you know, I mean, it's set up to get Drew Lock a lot of half field reads on the boot keep game. The one thing I'll say really quick just about Drew Lock. Okay.
Hold that.
I'll hold it.
I want to get your evaluation of what you saw from Locke as you did a deep dive into the film, the Roger Ebert of Breaking Down Bronco film. We'll do that. Also want your Broncos Dolphins leftovers. It's like a grill that hasn't been clean for a while. Just let it soak in. Get your leftovers from the Broncos and the Dolphins game on the RommelSlide.com text line 303-713-1043. Do that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, looking for your Bronco Dolphin leftovers, some stuff that maybe slipped through the cracks in all the conversation yesterday. Hit us up on the RommelSlide.com text line, 303-713-1043. Mark calling Broncos Saints for Fox on Sunday this week. So getting into the film study of the Broncos game, and you had some observations of one Drew Lock.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, Mike, there are several things that you see, you know, when you start to kind of break down the film and really look at the film. And You know, it's interesting because I had some pushback yesterday on this show when I said, hey, man, there's deep balls that you're just not even close to being accurate. And somebody pushed back on me and said, well, Russell Wilson's really the only guy, deep guy, that is accurate. I'm like, well, that's not true. And one of the issues that you get into with the deep throws, and there were plenty of opportunities where deep throws were there for the taking that were either misread by the receiver Andrew Locke. I think that first one that you talked about with Tim Patrick, going back and look at the coach's tape, I don't know what Tim Patrick was doing because they were running a two-man route. So Jerry Jeudy was running basically a deep over, or kind of almost a dig type of route, and he was open, and you could have completed that. And Patrick was coming out like almost like what we call a burner. So he's going to the backside pylon, and he changes his route midstream, and Drew Locke throws it to a spot, throws it to an area, and he had, I don't know why he adjusted. So I think that one was more on Patrick than it was on Drew Locke. But my point is this, all those deep throws down the sideline that you missed, all those throws that weren't even, they weren't close. And that's concerning, whether it was touch, you didn't layer the ball enough, you threw it too much on a line, you didn't give your receiver, you didn't give anybody an attempt to even go after. So you're throwing up a 50-50 ball that's a 0-100 ball. Because there's zero chance to catch it. So, because it's not even close to the receiver. And the point being is, let's say that you only completed one of those or two of those, right? It's two completions, right? But let's say if you put those balls in a place for your receivers to compete for those balls, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get, let's say you just get one completion, but you're going to get two PIs, right? And then you're going to get a couple incompletions. You're going to get somewhere in there, there's probably a hidden 100 yards of passing, maybe 120 yards of passing that you didn't even give anybody a chance to get. When you throw layered concepts outside the hashes, outside the numbers, like the accuracy dwindles. I think the mechanics, the foot mechanics aren't as good. And the accuracy dwindles. He's good in the middle of the football field. Between the two hashes, you have to design more. And I think part of it is because it keeps his body mechanics and his feet underneath him when he throws in the middle of the football field. It was third and 10. He throws a strike to Hamler on a spot over route. And it's beautifully thrown ball, and it's right dead center in the middle of the field. When he throws those balls are fairly accurate.
All right, but in fairness to him, the deep balls, there's a reason why people automatically bring up a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, because they stand out, because it's not like everybody in the NFL throws a good deep ball. And the thing, just to my untrained eye as a fan, as an observer of football, it seems like the Russell Wilsons and the Aaron Rodgers do a very nice job of just sort of floating the ball out there, and they let the receivers run underneath it. So I'm just, in the development of Locke and all young quarterbacks, you grow up with a howitzer for an arm, and you just figure, I'll just throw everything hard and on a rope, on a line. And as you get older and more developed and more evolved as a quarterback, isn't that the next step, is to learn, hey, look, on those long throws, it's not about gunning it. It's just, hey, feather it out there. Let my guy run underneath it. Is that something that, as a young quarterback, he should be able to grow into?
Well, I think you're always, anytime you're working on things, you're going to get better at things. But again, like,
my point is, I don't think every young quarterback comes in the league as a good deep ball thrower. Well, I think there are plenty of veterans out there who aren't necessarily good deep ball throwers.
I think some of those deep balls are the easiest balls to throw, because you're throwing it to a spot and let a guy run under it.
You think, right?
Right. And what I'm telling you is there tends to be a lack of touch, Mike. And again, that's part of the part of the maturation process, to be sure. But it's also one of those things that you would look at and say, hey, how much better? Because you have to get a lot better to be good at that particular throw. So I know there's a lot. He's young. I know there's a lot on his plate. I know this is another coordinator. You know, but it was part of bringing this coordinator in was, hey, the deep strikes, you know, we're going to make the deep strikes. Well, you got to complete some. At least you don't even have to complete them. You got to give your guy a fighting chance to go up for one and see if you can't draw a PI, see if you can't draw something of that nature. So that's part of it. The perceived pressure thing is still there. Like the lack of climbing the pocket, the lack of sliding right to left to avoid a little bit of initial pressure and staying in the pocket. There's a couple of those throws that end up getting covered where wide, the guys are coming wide open where you don't see a backside guy on a, you know, on a shallow cross going to come wide open and you escape to the right and it allows the cover guys to cover guys up. You know, it allows them that extra time to close that cushion. So there's some of that stuff in as well, but I thought the design of the run game, was pretty phenomenal. And him in the middle of the football field, he throwing in the middle of the football field is where he's usually the most accurate as long as he keeps his mechanics, you know, together.
Apparently people are loving this breakdown of the Broncos film as one texter just sent in. When Sting talks shop like this, I imagine Cecil Lammy sitting at home on the couch drinking a bottle of wine, listening to the radio and rubbing his belly button.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't listen to Cecil Lammy. I could imagine that. I mean, that is a vivid, there's a vivid, vivid image.
People love, it started with Klatt. And now you're carrying on the tradition. They love the X's and O's. They love it when you talk film, like, you know, digs and over routes and, robbers and.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's interesting though.
And layering.
Right.
You know, you saying layer is like me saying linger.
Yeah. You want to layer that route. You want to layer the throw, Mike.
To linger.
You want to let it linger.
That, you want to get it over that right. DB, you know.
So why don't you just say, just like, all right, learn from the master here, okay? All right. I say to linger, and you say
to
he
layer.
Needs to layer.
He needs to layer.
There you go. To layer.
Mm-hmm.
To linger.
Let it linger.
Why don't we spoon for a while? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but like game planning wise, I was really impressed with what they did in the run game. The variety with which they played and, you know, and obviously game plan specific, some of the things they did to what, you know, Miami does. Miami's an amoeba defense, man. Their guys are just lined up all over the place and you got to kind of, you got to almost zone everything out in pass protection. So a lot of that stuff that was really good.
All right, Mike Kliss will join us coming up in about 20 minutes. Morning Brew coming up next. How the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, inspired his football team. You'll love this story. It's a good one. It's coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. That's some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Drew came out of the game good. I don't think it ever really hindered him that much. And he reports in good this morning, so no residual effects there. Glasgow didn't finish the game, as you know. Felt his leg a little bit, but really might not have been his calf that was bothering him. He may have sustained, you know, maybe altered his gait or something, but he's got a little soreness in his lower leg, but don't think it's anything serious.
Little hitch in his giddy-up.
Yeah.
Graham Glasgow.
That'll happen.
Drew Lock came out of the game okay. As you were evaluating Locke's play in your film study, in what areas were there any areas that you saw some improvement in the way that he was just playing quarterback?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good, Mike, in the third downs. He made a couple of third down plays. You know, so if I go back through my notes, you know, he made a couple of third down scrambles that were good, converted on third down. The first, I think it was third and, I think it was third down and,
like third and 10.
Third and 10 to Hamler, just right over the ball. Yeah, the Hamler's route takes him right over the ball. Really nice throw there. Like I said, the scramble was good.
How about his reading of defenses, decision making? Those seem to be the things that have dogged him the most.
Yeah, I think like that first throw that the first throw that he made that got picked off was just like that's a one. You've got a guy underneath. You're waiting for the second guy to come clear. And you've got a guy underneath that you could kind of make it, you know, take your profit right there, right? Put yourself in, I think that was a second down play, put yourself in third and short, and you bypass it to wait for the crosser to come over, and then mechanically, you know, you still fall back into some of that kind of, and lazy is not the right word, like, because lazy, it, you know, denotes that you're not working hard. I think it just is you get to that, you get to where you break down mechanically. Like when he's together mechanically, I think he's really good. And that's just part of, you know, the way he has played, the collegiate system that he played in. But that was just a throw where, you're probably better off just taking that profit and making it, I think it was third down. If I look at my notes, I've got to go through it, but, no, it was third. It was a third down and 10. And he like to me, dump it off, get your 6 yards. If you break a tackle, you get 10. If not, you punt. It's okay. Instead of going to that second window and letting your mechanics break down and then throwing an errant ball.
All right, well, speaking of that, next on the Morning Brew.
Mesh, bad read, and, you know, Cam was running up the seam, and just at the last second, I saw the safety coming over and just popped it over Cam's head. So just a bad read, bad throw, decision, everything.
We'll get to your boy Brady in a second. But Monday Night Football, the Rams beat Tampa Bay 27-24. And how about the game plan that Sean McVay and Jared Goff put together? Rams love to run the football. McVay's known for his commitment to running the football. They had 20 carries for 37 yards. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But Jared Goff threw the ball fit. He was 39 of 51. For 3 touchdowns, and he targeted Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods a combined 28 times.
Yeah.
The two combined for 23 catches for 275 yards.
Amazing. Amazing. I think a couple of things. One, Tampa is one of the best run defenses in all of football. So I think that was, you know, a big, hey, we're not really gonna pound these guys and run the ball on them. The other thing that Sean McVay did in that particular game plan was having easy answers for Goff. There's no hold. It's out of your hand. It's get it to your receivers. Let them move with the ball. Attack the underneath stuff. If we're getting blitz, you know, if we're getting zone blitz or man stuff, you know, we're going to have the easy answers right now for Goff for you to get the ball out of your hand. And that's a testament. When you start looking at that, that is an actual compliment from Sean McVay. Hey guys, we know how good you are. One, we know how good you are defending the run, so we're really not going to commit to it. Two, we know how good you are at rushing the passer, so we're going to make sure we have quick, easy answers for our quarterback. I mean, it is a testament to how they feel about Tampa's defense.
Tampa, by the way, 7-4. Your boy Brady didn't look that good.
No, he didn't.
And
I love Tom Brady.
They've lost twice to the Saints and once to the Rams, and they have the Chiefs on deck.
So, showtime!
Is Tampa a bit of a fraud?
Oof. They're a good team that can beat you, but Brady's got to play a lot better, and they've got to understand, like, to me, they still have to take pressure off of Brady. They've got, when he's pressured and he has to move off his spots, and he's not it's kind of the Giants in the Super Bowl. When you pressure him, he'll make mistakes. You know, when he's clean and he's got easy answers, he'll pick you apart still. But, you know, that's obvious that he's struggling right now. When anybody who pressures him, anybody makes him move, the Saints pressured him, hit him, moved him off his spot. They both won both those games. Now the Rams have done it too.
Next on the Morning Brew.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, help me to dispatch this melon.
Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy channeling his inner Gallagher. So before the Vikings game on Sunday, the team meeting the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy set up a bunch of watermelons with objectives for the Cowboys in the game on the watermelon. And then he went down the line with a sledgehammer, a real sledgehammer, smashing these watermelons.
Now that's trying.
to signify the objectives. Team loved it. He got soaked with watermelon juice. And they went out and had their best win of the season, knocked off a Vikings team that was playing pretty well.
If you look at the NFC East, and Greg Gallagher reference right there, I mean, yeah, who doesn't think that that's hilarious? Watch, hey, let's go watch a show where a guy cracks a couple of jokes and then smashes watermelon. Like, how did that ever become
Some other guy liked it.
Yeah. I mean, anywho, great job. Great job by McCarthy getting them ready to play. That's really, I mean, that's awesome.
Did Joe Gibbs ever do anything like that?
Watermelon smashing?
Yeah. No. Mike Shanahan ever smashed watermelons?
No. Mike never smashed any watermelons. But you look at the NFC East right now, just from a divisional standpoint, like what they have left to play, the Cowboys have one team on their schedule with a winning record right now. With the rest of the whatever it is, six games left to play, seven games left to play, they've got one team with a winning schedule. I think the Giants have several. I think Philly has like five teams with winning schedules. Philly's not going anywhere. I think maybe the Giants have two teams with winning schedules left. It's going to come down, to me, it's going to come down to the Cowboys and the Giants.
All right. Just like the old days. Well, what am I saying?
Hey, first team.
Your team used to be in there, too.
First team with six wins. First team with six wins wins the division.
Six.
Yeah.
Six.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Five. First team to five probably wins this thing. Next on The Morning Brew.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Dabo Sweeney coming out and saying that Florida State used COVID as an excuse to not play and get hammered by Clemson. That is a major accusation for Dabo to make.
I like it.
Do you think that there's some truth to it?
How about new?
Sure, why not? No, why not? They know they're going to get crushed by Clemson. Tell you what, Idaho probably would have just shown up and played them. They were ready. Wait, no, they're not playing until the spring. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about the whole situation, but that
boy,
was certainly.
He was emphatic.
Yeah, he certainly seemed upset.
You got to have some really good intel. To come out and make that kind of a comment.
How many guys were out with COVID? How many guys were?
Who
cares?
Yeah. He suggested Florida State ducked the game using Clemson players' positive COVID test as an excuse.
Oh.
Mike Norvell, the Seminoles coach, emphatically denied the charge. So, well, we'll have Clatt on tomorrow. We'll ask him about that. Get his thoughts on that. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on that. Okay, that'll do it for The Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.
Ho, 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 Denver, it's St. Nick Ferguson.
All right, there you go. You just heard the jingle. Be the fourth caller right now to win a $30 gift card to Cherry Creek Shopping Center and be qualified for the grand prize of a $1,000 shopping spree to Cherry Creek Shopping Center, thanks to our good friend St. Nick Ferguson. So we'll take caller number four right now at 303-713-1043. If you're driving, be careful. 303-713-1043. Fourth caller wins and gets qualified for the grand prize. Mike Kliss, our Bronco insider, joins us next. All right, let's say good morning. It's a cold, snowy morning. No doubt, Mike Kliss bundled up in his jammies.
Mm. Yes.
Maybe one of those, what do they call them? What are they, snuggies? One-piece snuggies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where you can lay on the couch in your snuggie.
You think he's wearing a snuggie?
Yeah.
right?
I don't know. Maybe,
writing articles.
Maybe
surfing the internet.
Yeah, maybe he ordered some jammies from, what do you do?
Pajamagram. Yeah. Maybe he's lingering.
Could be.
Let's say good morning to Mike Kliss. He is presented.
To linger.
He is presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Good morning, Mike.
None of that, guys. Just my Notre Dame. I didn't go to Notre Dame, but my Notre Dame hoodie and pajama bottoms. But, yeah, it looks like a good day to stay in.
Yeah, it certainly does. And it was a good day for the Broncos offense, especially their run game, Mike. And, you know, kind of going back, I think Vic Fangio's, they went back to the 60s, kind of the Vince Lombardi going back of the G lead stuff with the counter pulls. And I don't even know what to call that stuff. I'm breaking down the film yesterday and I'm like, I'm not sure what this is called, but, I like it. It's condensing formations and running outside. What information do you have on how that came to be as part of their running game as they attacked the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, you said that the Dolphins front is similar to what they ran in the 60s. And he said most of them did. And, you know, it seemed to me like back in the 60s, everyone ran a 4-3. I actually saw Miami do a lot of stand-up. Type of it almost looked like the NASCAR. Everybody was standing up at one point.
Yeah,
and maybe he just felt like pulling the extra blocker, Dalton Reisner. And when I grew up in the Chicagoland area, they showed the Packer games as much as they showed the Bear games. The Bears were blacked out at home, and so the Packers, Fuzzy Thurston and Jerry Kramer would pull out there for Horning and Taylor. And that's what it reminded me of when I was seeing Reisner pull out there. And, you know, I don't remember the tackles pulling in the 60s, but you saw Garrett Bowles out there. And it looked like those linemen were having a lot of fun. You know, Mark, I'm sure after you battle in the trenches and, you know, you muddy it up all that time, when you get to pull and go out in space and you get to wipe out a 180-pound cornerback, that's got to be a lot of fun for a lineman.
Well,
and everyone gets to see your athleticism. That's how you get Pro Bowl votes right there.
If you have athleticism, I'm sure that is fun. For me, it was like, oh gosh, I'm going to get juked by a DB and then I'm going to look like an idiot. I'd just rather stay in the trenches, Mike. That was me.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
So is this something, You think about things when you throw a new look out there. Sometimes it takes teams, they need to have, you know, 4 weeks of film on you to really be able to figure out tendencies and things like that. Is this something that the Broncos might be able to capitalize on for a while before, you know, the league kind of catches up?
Yeah, I don't know if it was something specific for Miami's defense, which it might have been. New Orleans, Saints, I haven't watched them too much. When I have, they've got a much bigger, much more stout defense up front than Miami. Miami, it didn't look that way to me, that, you know, all those defensive players look the same, you know, the 6'2", 240-pound linebackers who can run. But overall, I guess they're a smaller unit up front. And I think that had, in other words, I don't think you're going to see the Broncos run like this every week. Miami is an aggressive, fast, but smaller front. And they can get after the quarterback, but you can run on them. And the Broncos figured that out through their film work, and credit to Munchak and Shurmur and Fangio for watching film and seeing what they could come up with. And they came up with a real nice blocking scheme that worked well against the Dolphins. I'm not sure it will work, in the next 2 weeks here against the Chiefs and the Saints.
Mike, defensively, like, how are they doing this and how much better? I thought Bradley Chubb was really good in this game. It looked like he had better movement skills. But they have really piecemealed this defense together, and they, getting after Tua Tagovailoa, getting 6 sacks, and like, how have they come together like this with backup defensive linemen who are playing great? You know, I mean, Walker's playing really good. Jones is playing really good. Like, how has this come about? How has this defense kind of progressed?
Since
Fangio's been here, I think the defense has played good, solid, fundamental football, and they got a bunch of overachievers who all play like if they don't play hard and if they don't play well, they fear they're going to get cut tomorrow. And it, you know, kind of started with Mike Purcell last year, an overachiever, a guy who's been cut 10 times by six teams. And now he's, you know, they talk about him, you know, in glowing terms, like he's almost a Pro Bowl nose tackle. Deshaun Williams, you know, cut in the Canadian Football League. I guess he asked for his release, but still he's been cut 10 times. Even Shelby Harris was a guy who bounced around a bunch of times. And now he's a mainstay on that defensive line. DeMarcus Walker, final year with the Broncos, fourth year. He's been a second-round disappointment. And he's out there hustling and making plays. I think Fangio does a good job getting these journeymen to play together. Defense guys, and you saw this in 2015, and we haven't seen it too much since, but defense, it's got to be 11 for 1. And, you know, that's a group that has to play together. You can't play 11 different individuals. They got to all be tied together. And Fangio, I think, does a good job of getting all these guys to play together.
All right, Mike, we'll let you get back to your hot chocolate with marshmallows floating on top. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by BetRiver Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. I'm fascinated by this whole 60s running game. I really want to get into that a little bit more. We'll do that coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.